As we continue making our way through Easter, experiencing the power of the resurrection, we're reminded today that not everyone joins us in this celebration. In prior weeks, we've recognized that it's hard for ourselves to enter fully into it at times because we don't always see Jesus in our midst, as remembered with those disciples who took that road to Emmaus. We don't always understand what Jesus would have to say to us, as we remembered on Good Shepherd Sunday. But today we know that we recognize that there are those who wouldn't long to see Jesus at all, who aren't trying to understand him. We, of course, who have seen the good news of the resurrection, who know who Christ is, would long to see Jesus, would long to hear what Christ has to say, and to have the Holy Spirit be shared with us in such a way that we could understand what Christ would say to us. Today, Jesus reminds us that there are those who do not receive this Holy Spirit. There are those of the world who do not see the good news of the resurrection and so are not looking for Jesus and are not trying to understand what Jesus would say. And this creates a dividing line in the world, those who have received the Holy Spirit, those who have this opportunity to recognize the good news of the resurrection, and those who have not. And hear that those who are of the world do not receive the Holy Spirit. Now, just a quick note, I think it's important. When we're talking about the world here, we're not talking about creation. Indeed, the world can't receive the Holy Spirit, but creation has. God has breathed life into this world. This breath that has moved upon the waters has entered into that which lives in God's creation. And we hear in the book of Romans how this creation longs for the redemption and restoration that God is bringing about, that it too wants the redemption Jesus inaugurates, wants the kingdom of God. These are things that are given by the Holy Spirit, and these are things that are absent for those of the world, meaning that creation is not in that category. And so we're not to see this as some indictment against the world as a whole. It is a reminder that there are places within this world, there are people and groups who do not wish to see Jesus, who do not recognize what Christ would have to say to them. And we hear of just such a group in our first reading today, in our reading from Acts, that Paul stands before the Athenians. And the Athenians had idols and gods, but they did not know God, the maker of heaven and earth. They did not know Christ, the one who had redeemed the world. There was no access point for Paul on those topics. The closest thing Paul can get to talking about God and Christ is an altar to an unknown God. This is what it is like when we do not have the Holy Spirit, when we do not see the good news of the resurrection. God, Christ are absent altogether. And of course, this bothers Paul, and he wants to rectify this issue. But we're reminded that sometimes there are those who just don't have these things before them. Do not have the good news readily available to them. And sometimes this can create some friction between those who do have this understanding of who Christ is and what God has accomplished through Christ and those who do not. And we heard a couple of weeks ago even about this notion of suffering for doing good and for those who cannot see the good news of the resurrection, for those who do not have the Holy Spirit leading them into all truth, we're going to work against the good. And maybe even cause some suffering for those who do not deserve it. Some injustice in this world could be wrought. And our author of 1 Peter 2 weeks ago said, even so, endure, continue, persevere. Don't give up just because you see these things at odds. And of course, today we are still reminded that there might be some physical pushback on those who would profess their faith in Christ and those who would claim to bear witness to the good news of the resurrection and seek to live out of love. For some reason, this bothers some folks, and there is some pushback against it. But we're also invited to expand ourselves to seeing a pushback in ideology and perspective that people might challenge us using just their words instead of force. And might look at how we live and say, this looks a little strange to us. Why would you do this? It doesn't seem to jive with our understanding of the world. And of course, our author says, well, in such moments, be ready to make a defense for the hope that is within you. Make a defense for why you would live in a hope-filled way in this world, why you might care for the needs of others, why you would share such love in ways that would even embrace suffering for the sake of making that love known for the world. And of course, our task is not just to make a defense, but to do that with all gentleness and respect, something that we don't always do well when we're in the process of making defenses. And indeed, many times, I think, myself included, as I make a defense for something, I get a little defensive about it. Now, Paul gives us a good example, I think, of what it looks like to give a defense for the hope that is within us, to clearly communicate the gospel message with gentleness and respect. That we do not see Paul laying judgment against the Athenians today. You wicked and horrible people who are filled with idolatry does not come out of Paul's mouth. We also don't see Paul saying, I'm a little afraid to say this, or I'm a little nervous. He has no desire to justify his beliefs. He simply states them and starts with something they would be familiar with themselves, an altar to an unknown God, to try to bring in his message in a way that is gentle and respectful, and yet also is clear about who he worships, clear about the good news of the resurrection. Such gentleness and respect is often elusive to us. We either fail to make a defense for our faith and our hope at all. And when we do, we might do so not as gently or as respectful as Paul does here today. So what is our path through? How do we bear witness to the good news of the resurrection in this world, especially when we find ourselves at odds with others who may not share that same hope, and there might be pushback against us for doing so? Well, I think Christ has given us the answer all along. It is to follow this command to love one another. And it is love that is to motivate us, not a desire to be right, not a desire to force our own selves and positions onto others, not a desire even to change the folks around us, except to say that we want them to know the same life and love that we have encountered through Christ. And that we cannot help but share this good news with them. We know well the other paths and where they lead, to brokenness, to sin, to death. Not as a self-righteous, judgmental approach to say, you wicked people, get right. But we are saying there is a lot of pain and heartache and suffering that is going to be attached to what you are doing, and that is going to be inflicted upon others that we would spare you and them of. And we would rather you follow Christ, the Good Shepherd, who leads us to the life that really is life. That is the motivation and how we are to interact with those who might not share this same belief that we hold, that we too would long to draw near in love. Why? Because this is what God does for us. That when we are estranged, when we were foreigners to God, when we didn't understand this message, Christ drew near to us anyway. This is what we see across our readings. Of course, Christ is drawing near to the disciples and telling them, yes, I will come back for you and I will bring you to the place that I have prepared for you. But we see that same love on display in Paul, who draws near to these Athenians, that they too should hear this good news, that God has prepared a place for them, that God's grace would want to be shared with them, that this is the love of God reaching out. Indeed, we hear this again in our second reading today, as we hear that Jesus went to the souls in prison, those same ones who during the time of Noah rejected God. Jesus makes proclamation to them. And I have to imagine that it is not just that time period Jesus shares the good news with, but with all those who have rejected God, with all those who have pushed God away and not seen God's perspective. Christ still draws near, even in death, and makes proclamation to say, here is the good news of God being offered to you. That is what love does. It never gives up. It keeps reaching out, keeps finding ways to share the good news that God cares about us and has made a place for us where we can know that we are beloved and precious in God's sight and are restored to right relationship with God and with each other. Indeed, this is the same love that still reaches out to us today, that still gathers us in, that still shares with us the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, that leads us into the truth of God's love, a love of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, and that we who experience this are sent forth to make this love known in the world. Yes, we will rub up with others who don't share our faith, with others who aren't celebrating the joy of the resurrection, and our response is to be love, gentleness, respect, as we bear witness to the light of God's resurrection power shining forth in our lives and in the midst of this world. And that sounds like a big, lofty task, and it is, but there is some assurance here today, too, that Jesus says, as I come to you, I will make my home with you. That even as Christ prepares a home for us, Christ also comes to dwell within us, connecting us to God fully. So that even just through our own relationship with others, there will be opportunities for the Christ who is within us to reach out through us and make the love of God known. That this isn't all up to us, but it does mean we seek to give ourselves over to the one who lives within us, so that others through us may encounter Christ, may encounter this love of God that is reaching out for them and telling them the same good news that God has prepared a place for them. Indeed, this is the good news we experience again today in this meal. Here, Christ shows up for us once more, to fill us with God's light, to fill us with God's love, to fill us with Christ's own presence in this bread and wine and body and blood. Here we have the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, given to us to lead us into all truth, to help us in our relationships with others, to help us celebrate and share this love of Christ in ways that may draw others into the life-giving love of God. And as we go out to celebrate and share this love, there will be opportunities for us to see our living Lord still at work in us, through us, and around us. We will still see the good news of the resurrection shining forth, and there will be clear opportunities and ways to bear witness to the hope that is within us with these clear expressions of God's light and love. And as we bear witness to all that God is doing, as we see the ways in which Christ is at work in this world, in us, through us, and around us, we will not be able to stop ourselves from giving a defense of the hope that is within us. We will not be able to stop ourselves from crying out with joy, "Alleluia! Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed! Alleluia! Amen."